Blog Talk Radio. Yes, worthy is the Lamb.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We lift you up, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My soul says hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, my Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We lift you up. We magnify your holy name. We bow before you, Yahshua Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are holy, Lord. You are holy. We bless your name tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. I hope that introduction wasn't too long for you, but it's something that I think we needed just to lift up a holy God, hallelujah, that says to us, be ye holy as he is holy. So that means that we are capable, fully capable of being holy as God is holy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good evening and welcome to Gatekeepers Global Podcast. I'm your host tonight, CEO and founder of Gatekeepers Ministry International, and I thank you for joining us from calling in or by way of streaming. It's always an honor and a pleasure to come before the world with this platform, this holy platform that only glorifies God, not people, but glorifies our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A global platform that only the Holy Spirit could have brought into fruition. I don't preach in these countries that listen in. They don't know me personally, but God knows me and God knows them. And he drew them by his Spirit, as he has drawn you tonight, to this powerful ministry that you are going to be anointed, filled again with the Holy Spirit as we minister to you tonight. Coach me through the seven churches in Asia, part one. It's something that this is what we need to be doing at this time, looking at these seven churches and finding personally where we're at, not where your neighbor's at, but where you're at, where I am. I want to know, and I want to live like Jesus is my first love. I desire to live holy in my mind, in my body, with my speech. I desire to imitate Christ, not anybody else. So we're excited tonight about this ministry and the four churches that we're going to talk about. You know, I know that a lot of people don't read the book of Revelation because they think it's too heavy for them. They think they won't understand it. But anything you read once that you don't understand, that the Holy Spirit can bring understanding to you as you read it. You need to read it twice and then three times and then again. And this is one of the most powerful books in the Bible. It's a book that God wants us to focus on right now. This is a time for these churches to be exposed, to call it what it is, for God to reveal where he is in these churches, where he's not. He didn't have these letters written in vain. He didn't have them written for you to backslide and end up in one of them. He had them written because he loves us. He had them spelled out in seven different ways so that we can read each one, what happened there, how they were, how they ended up, how God sees them. You know, it's not no big deal how other people see you, even though it concerns us. But it is an enormous deal how God sees you. Oh, yeah, he looks upon us every morning with new mercies. He'd rather give us mercy than judge us. But, you know, there's such a thing that judgment is mercy. God wouldn't be a just God if he didn't bring justice. And as we were told back in February by Prophet Jenkins, this is the year of justice. I don't know about you, but I want justice in the various things that have taken place in my life that I didn't do, I didn't deserve, that other people had the initiative to do what they did, but I didn't retaliate, I didn't get revenge. Oh, I cried a lot of tears and they laughed at me, probably still do. And I attempted to get a meeting face-to-face or however I could with every person that I felt was coming up against me, church leaders. I'm not a coward. Wasn't when I wasn't saved, and I'm not now. But when you've done all that you could do according to the scriptures to make it right in the sight of the Lord, according to the scriptures, not according to what somebody wrote in some novel or what somebody dictates to you, but what the Word of God dictates to us so that we would have right relationships before God and that we would be found innocent of trying to cause strife or division. You know, the very people that cause the strife and division in the church, they'll turn it around and try to make it look like it was you. That has happened to me, probably has happened to some people that are listening. But I'm grateful to God that I have clarity. Clarity of mind, clarity in my soul, clarity in my spirit, that God is on my side. And you know, God will back you up when you do right in his sight. He will back you up. And he'll let you know that he'll back you up. So the book of Revelation is an on-fire book. And if you're afraid of it, rebuke that fear in the name of Jesus. Dive into it. Read it paragraph by paragraph. Get another Bible that breaks down the words in the scriptures simpler for you. But God wants to give you understanding of his scriptures, and he wants to make it plain what's going on in the churches. And these seven churches exist in the earth, not just in Asia. God didn't have this spelled out just for Asia. God had these seven churches spelled out for us in these last days because he knew that some of us would walk away from him. He knew that we would backslide and not return. And these seven churches are so profoundly explained in the scriptures that it'll wake you up. This church is mostly sleep. It slept 4 years through the last White House administration. Now they built a calf, a golden statue of the last president. I thank God that I didn't waste my vote on him. And how do you think God feels looking from the throne room into the earth when this calf was built of this man, golden, and wheeled in to a grand convention center, loaded with Republicans, and I'm sure a lot of them were Christians. Lifting up this man like Aaron did when he was in charge of building the calf, the golden calf, when Moses was on the mountain receiving a word from the Lord. Hallelujah, my God. We're going to receive from the Lord tonight. I want to read from Revelation chapter 1, So I'm going to do that in less than a minute. So if you don't have your Bible, get your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 1. It's the last book in the Bible. But I want to give a shout out to the nations that listen in, that join us. I'm so honored. God reminds me that he's the one that said that he would make that he would take Gatekeepers Ministry International global. Okay, well, that's what he said. And that's what he did. So I give God all the praise, honor, and all the glory tonight. I bless his holy name. I'm trying to get up the flyer with all the names of the countries, of the nations on it. Of course, my laptop would be acting strange right now. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus is against you. But I'm honored that these people from other nations, normally they stream in, they don't call in. So I want to give a shout out to Australia, Mexico, China, Mongolia, Brazil, Peru, the Netherlands, Togo, Bangladesh, France, Germany, Ireland, South Korea, Tobago, Norway, Trinidad, Ghana, Israel, London, the UK, Republic of Serbia, Sweden, Egypt, Vietnam, Thailand, Dubai, Tanzania, Canada, South Africa. We give a shout out to Kenya, the Philippines, India, New Zealand, Belgium, Pakistan, Malaysia, Nigeria, Argentina, Russia, Namibia, Somalia, Greece, Croatia, Barbados, Japan, Slovakia, Nicaragua, Ivory Coast, Jamaica, Venezuela, Turkey, and this great nation, the United States of America, that was made great, not at the hands of man, but made great by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give God praise. So the other nations, I'll give them a shout out a little later. But I want to read from the book of Revelation right now, and I hope you have your Bible. The revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon to take place. That's us. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Yahshua the Messiah, to everything he saw. How fortunate is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. God is telling us right there, how fortunate is the one, that's us, that's you, who reads the words of this prophecy and those who hear and keep what has been written in it. For the time is near. John, the Messiah's seven churches in Asia, to Messiah's seven churches in Asia, grace to you and shalom from him who is and who was and who is to come, as well as the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Messiah Yeshua, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom priest. To his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever. Amen. Look, he is coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says Adonai Elohim, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patient endurance that are in Yeshua, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Yeshua. You need to know what John went through on the Isle of Patmos. They put him in boiling oil, and he still lived, didn't feel a thing. You ever wonder why people go through such dramatic trauma-like things for God? You may not know them like God knows them, and you may sit back and wonder why they went through that. Oh, they must have did this or did that. I know there's been people that have said that about me. But my slate is clean. And John had to go through this. This is the mightiest, most powerful revelation that a man of God could have received. They don't get them like this anymore because leaders don't want to go through nothing. So I'm going to slip over to the four churches that we are going to talk about tonight, and then I am going to introduce Bishop Bronson to you so he can minister to us on the two churches that he has. So he's going to talk about Sardis, the Church of Sardis, and I'm going to read the letter here. I don't know if he plans on reading it, but I'm going to read it. It's in Revelation chapter 3, Sardis, coming like a thief, to the angel of Messiah's community in Sardis write, thus says the one having the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains that was about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. But still, you have a few people in Sardis who have not stained their clothes. They will walk with me in white because they are worthy. The one who overcomes thus will be dressed in white clothes. I will never blot his name out of the book of life and will confess his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is saying to the Messiah's churches. Now, that's Sardis. See if you find yourself there. Be honest with yourself, because the Bible says to wake up and repent. And the Lord spoke to me some time ago, letting me know that we are dealing in this day with a sleeping church, a sleeping giant. And unless the church wakes up and repent, it's going to be just like this. Sardis. So I won't read about Laodicea, but I'm going to read to you a little bit about Bishop Bronson. Bishop John Edward Bronson lives in Nashville, Antioch, Tennessee. He is a non-denominational, Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-baptized believer. He is the founder and president of Greater Gospel Way Fellowship, Incorporated of Jackson, Mississippi. He, along with his wife, Dr. Evangelist Matilda H. Bronson, pastors the newly established Christ Community Church located in Belzoni, Mississippi. Bishop Bronson was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in May of 1981 and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues in September of 1981. He was ordained into the Gospel of Christ ministry December 31st, 1985, ordained into the rank of elder and pastor December 31st, 1991, by the official of the Word of Faith Ministries, Incorporated. He received third ordination in 2005 by officials of ICCM, President Dr. Michael Chitwood Overseer. Bishop Bronson is a focused and committed man of faith. He is anointed and gifted ministering in the now prophetic as God uses him in the fivefold gifts of the Holy Spirit. Could I say about him? I thank God for the divine connection, and I thank God that I could call him and his wife my friends. Bishop Bronson, welcome to Gatekeepers Global Podcast.
It is an humble privilege
that you're on tonight.
Yes, glory to God. Praise God. It is an humble privilege to have the opportunity to speak a word in the name of the Lord on your platform that God has given you. I certainly do not count it a light thing, and I give God glory and honor for the utterance of the Holy Spirit, and I thank him. I give him praise for your spirit. Praise be unto God for being steadfast in the body of Christ. We give God honor and glory, and we just bless his holy name today for such a mighty, mighty focus. This afternoon, we're focusing on the seven churches of Asia Minor. Glory be to God. And it speaks of the wisdom and the power and the might of God to speak such a reflection of the time that we're living in today. Even though this was back during the time when John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for declaring Jesus Christ and declaring God as being one God, glory be unto God, and for confessing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for standing firm in what he believed. He was on the Isle of Patmos, glory be to God, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mighty privilege it is, because Jesus said that if you suffer with me, you shall also reign with me. We give God honor and glory, and we just thank the Lord tonight for the utterance of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Bible was written by holy men of old as they were inspired by God. So we honor God. We give him the glory that our tongue shall be as the pen of a ready writer on this afternoon, speaking those things that were divinely revealed through by God's Spirit unto holy men of old. We just thank the Lord. We praise God today for the church at Sardis, and we give God glory for the church of Laodicea. Praise be unto God. We praise God. When we look at it, I want to read relevant scriptures as to define location and as to define who the church is, and then we'll go to the scripture. Glory be to God. I'll be reading from my commentary. Praise God. God is good. And we're going to begin with the church at Sardis. Hallelujah. You know, just before the rapture takes place, glory be unto God, it's such a powerful thing that God would select such a thing to be expounded on. Praise be unto God. Because in the world that we live in, all of these conditions exist in the body of Christ. All of these conditions exist in the life of the people of God, in the setting of the church of God. And when we look at COVID-19 and so many theories and so many reasons have been given why COVID-19 is here, but it's such a mighty thing in the wisdom of God that just by his will that this is taking place, not only to get the attention of the world, but to get the attention of the body of Jesus Christ, to get the attention of the church as we have been gathering in mass numbers, mass congregations. Glory be to God. What a powerful and mighty time in the body of Christ that we have been experiencing, even reflective of the day when these scriptures were written. Hallelujah. That God would allow such a thing to get the attention of the church, praise be unto God, and to get the attention of the world that he is one God. And when he speaks, everybody listens. When God speaks, everything stands still. He's the maker. He is the creator of all things. He is the greatest of all existence. In the beginning, God said, let there be, And it was. Everything responded to his word. Everything responded to his will. Praise be unto God. Everything now consists by the word of his power. He is still God. Glory be to God. So regardless to what the circumstances are in the church, the body of Christ today, God is, hallelujah, he's still in control. He still has all power in his hand. And as the scripture declares, that every knee must bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the glory, is Lord, praise God, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Sardis, it is a city of one of the seven churches addressed in Revelation 3, 1 and 6. The church was condemned as being dead, perhaps a reference to its ineffectiveness in the world, however, some of its members were commended. So everyone within the church was not considered dead. But the Apostle Paul, in his writing I believe it was Colossae, that he recognized those who were walking in the way of God. Praise be unto God. So we're going to begin here with the church that was at Sardis. Sardis was more or less a compromising church. You know, we live in a world today where the people of God compromises. They are not ready to take a stand. Many times because of their circumstances of life, many times because of their environment, they are not ready to take a stand for the word of God. In the day of the Church of Sardis in Asia Minor, the Roman Empire was in great rulership. Praise God. They were the controlling military factor. And the church more or less, the city more or less of Sardis was under Roman rule. And the Christians were there. Glory to God. And we had the Jews there in Sardis. So the Jewish people more or less did not pose a direct threat to the Roman Empire because they understood their worship, that they worshiped one God, and they had laws that they abided by. They had laws that they lived by that did not conflict more or less directly with the Roman Empire because they really they didn't believe in Jesus. You know, the Romans didn't. And to them, the Jewish religion was not a real threat because they were believing in a God that they could not see. Their God was spiritual. But the Roman Empire, their gods were gods that you could see. They were statues and they were concrete deities and all types of things that they worshiped there in the nation. They had several, rather, they had many gods that they bowed down and worshiped to. And as long as the God of the Israelites or the God of the Christians did not pose a threat to their God, everything was fine. But a problem came in when many of the Jews began to be converted, glory be to God, because they have been waiting on the Messiah. So when the Messiah had come and many of the Jews believed on Jesus, especially in reflection to Nicodemus, how Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he wanted to understand the new birth. He wanted to understand the fullness of what the Christians were actually talking about, because he came by night to Jesus himself. And he said, how can a man be born again after that he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus told him that that is born of flesh is flesh, but that that is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. You were born once into this world in sin unto death, but in order to be, to walk with God, you're going to have to be born again. With men, this is impossible. With men, that is hard. But with God, all things are possible. Praise be unto God. So Nicodemus, many believe that he came as a representative of the Sanhedrin Council. And we see also that Nicodemus gave testimony afterwards concerning Jesus Christ. So we see that we believe that Nicodemus was also a believer. So Jesus was trying to make him know, as it was, which is the fault with the church in Sardis, as it is opposed to the Roman Empire, that serving God is spiritual. It is not natural. Serving God is spiritual. St. John chapter 4, verse 24 tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now let us go to the scripture and let us give God's indictment against, and I call it an indictment against the church of Sardis, and we also go back and read the one of Laodicea. Glory be to God. But Jesus wanted Nicodemus to know of a certainty that serving God is spiritual. That is something that we must let the world know that we're living in today, that serving God is spiritual. Glory be to God. It is not a natural thing, but it is a spiritual thing. That is why it is so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Where in the Bible tell us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost have come upon you. Scripture also give us to know that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Every man that is born in this world of a woman is born in sin unto death. Adam was the first man. Glory be to God. The seed of the first man was contaminated. Therefore, it contaminated every man that come into this world. But down through 42 generations, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to redeem us back from the devil, back from Satan, back from sin. That is why the lamb had to be offered up on the cross. That is the importance of the work that was done on Calvary, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Sacrifices and offerings the Lord desired not, but a body did he prepare to offer up for the sins of the world. Jesus, the Son of God, had to be offered up. He had to go into the heart of the earth and be buried in the heart of the earth, and on the third day rise from the dead. Glory be to God. He had to do it according to the plan of God, and he had to ascend back to heaven and to take the blood into heaven. Glory to God. Wherein God the Father promised to send back the Holy Ghost. And we know that the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. Praise be unto God. It was, as the Bible says, of a rushing mighty wind. The wind blew. Glory to God. And Genesis 2 and 7 tells us that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. He breathed into his nostrils when he was lying there on the ground as a shell, and he received spirit life, and he received natural life. But he lost that spirit life in the disobedience of Adam. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came, and God breathed again, and the Spirit of God filled the heart of men. Glory be to God. Serving God is spiritual. This is a fault of the church at Sardis. that they wanted to have a peaceable coexistence with the enemy. You cannot compromise your spirit life, glory be to God, because in all of these churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor, God is saying here collectively that I'm watching, glory, hallelujah, for the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout all the earth, beholding the deeds of man, whether they are good or whether they are evil. God is beholding all of the deeds of man, wherein he said, be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy. And we understand here that these writings that John wrote on the Isle of Patmos, they were unto the angel of the church. They were to the pastors. The Bible said he gave first some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edification, for the building up of the saints. These letters were written to the angel of the church who had taken charge, the pastor, the shepherd, the under-shepherd, who had taken charge to preach and to teach and to lead the people, glory be to God, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So God was writing to the head. In the world that we're living in today, it's so important, it's so necessary that regardless, pastors, you must take a stand. You must stand firm in the word of God. Your message may not be popular, glory be to God. Jesus' message was not popular, but the scriptures say, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him, but they are revealed unto us by his Spirit. We cannot compromise. The word is God's word, glory be to God. And if any man change anything from the word of God, if any man add or take away from the word of God, it shall be added or it shall be taken away from them, because we have a charge to keep. Glory be to God. We have received of the great commission where we go into all the world and preach the gospel. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Teaching men and women to observe all things whatsoever the Lord have shown us. Glory, hallelujah, to as men and women of God. It was written to the pastors. The pastors must take a stand. Glory, hallelujah. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all God delivers. I'm going to briefly read back over where Asiah had read, and I'll just kind of briefly recap. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things said he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works. Glory be to God. In other words, God is saying, regardless to what we present unto man, regardless to what we say unto man, regardless to how we are able in many ways to put up a disguise, glory to God, because that's what it is sometimes. God is saying, I know your works. Man, look on the outward appearance, but God is looking at the heart. I know your works. Glory, hallelujah. I see you every day. Praise be unto God. God is everywhere at the same time. Glory, hallelujah. That thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Many of us are declaring that we are righteous. Many are declaring that we are holding forth the word of God. Many are declaring that we know the Lord. Glory be unto God. Many are declaring how mighty God is moving through us. But Jesus said in that day, many will say, Lord, did not I do great works in your name? Did not I cast out devils? And did not I cast out demons? But Jesus said, he was saying that day, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I knew you not. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible say that if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly man appear? Glory be unto God, because Jesus is coming back for a church without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, or without any such thing. He's coming back for his bride. Glory, hallelujah. He's coming back for that perfect bride, for that bride that has been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, that has no spot on her garment. Glory be to God, whose heart is synchronized, whose heart is united to fear God, who is walking in the word of God. Glory, hallelujah, who is focused in the spirit. You see, the church at Sardis, because there were so many other gods of the Roman Empire, and that there came a great persecution against the church at Sardis, because the Jews, they were okay with the Roman Empire in many ways, because they didn't threaten their gods and they allowed them to worship. God made a way for them to do that. That was something that God fixed under the law. But now we are talking about a different dispensation. We are talking about the dispensation of grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We're talking about a different dispensation where the Son of God has come to the earth, born of a virgin, glory, hallelujah, tabernacling upon this world, in this world, demonstrating to those that would believe on him how to live a holy life, making proof that we can live a holy life. But the church at Sardis was compromising because of fear. Hallelujah. They were compromising because of fear. They wanted to live in peaceable coexistence with the adversary, with those that was worshiping idol gods. The Lord said, I will have no other God before me. He said, I am a jealous God, and I will have no other God before me. So those Jews who converted to Christians, who began to say that it is one God, who began to say that Jesus is the Son of God, glory, hallelujah, that he arose from the dead, those who began to confess their salvation, their life was put in a way of death, so they feared. You see, many times we just don't turn away from the Lord, but we allow drifting to take place. You know, if you don't put down an anchor on a ship, that ship would drift out, and many times it would go out into troubled waters. That is how the Apostle Paul got into Euroclydon. That's how he got out into troubled water, because the men believed the centurion more than they believed him, and they would not put down an anchor for the ship. So if we don't put down an anchor for our soul, we'll find ourselves drifting into dangerous territories. We'll find ourselves drifting into the grip of the adversary. So they did not put down an anchor. They did not take a stand for the word of God. They did not declare the truth. So they found themselves drifting into a place where they began to coexist with the adversary, and they lost the power of God, because what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? What fellowship does light have with darkness? Glory be to God. And God said that even though they were still confessing the name of Jesus Christ, they were still confessing to be in the body of Christ, he had somewhat against them. Glory be to God. Because they were saying that they were alive, but yet they were dead. Hallelujah. In our readings tonight, I want to really say concerning all of the churches of Asia Minor that not only does it demonstrate that God does not agree with sin, but if you look at it, God is a God of love. He's demonstrating his love. Because it is the love of God. The Bible tells us that the grace of God that pertaineth to salvation hath appeared unto every man. So we all have an appointment. We all have a time where the grace of God appears unto us that give us the opportunity, glory be to God, to repent, to turn from our ways. You know, God was saying here, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Glory be to God. If there is compromise in your life, separate from compromise. You know, when the children of Israel came out of captivity, I believe it was during the 70-year captivity, some of the priests had defiled themselves with the people of the land. those Levites, those who were ordained to minister unto God and to carry the word of God and to conduct the worship, the priests, they had contaminated themselves with the seed of their captivity. And when Ezra found the scroll and they began to read the word of God, and this thing was revealed, the only way that they could get right with God, they had to put away their strange wives. They had to put away their strange children. Glory be to God. They had to get their relationship right with God. And God is saying the same thing today. Glory be to God. We've got to get the idols out of our lives. We cannot compromise. We cannot walk hand in hand with the world and still please God. Glory, hallelujah. While the world is almost standing still because of this pandemic that God has allowed. I didn't say he sent it, glory to God, but I said he allowed. Nothing can happen except God allows it. So this pandemic that God has allowed, that the world is sitting still listening, glory be to God, I want you to hear tonight, set your house in order. Glory be to God. Thus said the Spirit of God, set your house in order. Because we have the time. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. I know that time is not going to allow us converse fully all that God has placed into our spirit. Glory to God. But our tongue should be as the pen of a ready writer. We should be like the prophet Jeremiah, that his word should be down in our spirit, down in our heart as a burning fire. God said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Praise be unto God. Seer, do I have time to go to Laodicea? Glory to God.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Praise, time.
Glory. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, I'll broach it. Hallelujah. Glory be unto God. Can somebody across the world say God is good? Laodicea, Laodicean, the Laodicean church, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spill thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me, God is saying, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. How many times are, and how many days without number, is the body of Christ walking in darkness, that we don't see our condition? Glory to God. That we don't see the condition of our heart. When you have unforgiveness in the church, glory be to God. When you have strife and division, when you have malice in the church, when you have those who are in need in the church, glory to God. When you have circumstances within the body of Christ that will not be reconciled, praise be unto God. How many days without number have we walked in self-righteousness? Because this is what God is saying here. The church is saying that she is okay. The bride is saying, I'm okay. You know, it's just like the doctor come to visit you, and the doctor say, well, you go to visit him, vice versa. How are you? And you know you have things in your life that are not well, and you say, well, I'm just fine. Glory to God. I'm just fine. Well, why did you go to the doctor? Why do you read the Word of God? Why do you pray? Why do you seek His face and say that you want to get close to Him and not be open enough to confess your sins, to confess your unrighteousness? Glory to God, to look into the perfect law of liberty and abide thereby, to look into the mirror of the Word. Because, listen, we're just, in many ways, we're just like the church of Laodicea. We're lukewarm. It has become religion to us. Serving God has become religious, somewhat like the church in Sardis. We are compromising many times, and we say that we are hot and we're on fire for God. But are we offering up fire of truth? Glory to God. Are we like Nadab and Abihu? Are we going into the church offering up strange fire? Glory be to God, knowing that the fire that we're offering up did not come from the altar. Glory be to God, but it came from the world. You see, the church of Laodicea was a very wealthy church. Glory to God. It was situated on a trade route. And let's read very briefly, and I'll enlighten you to that, and we'll go back to the expounding. It says, Laodicea was well known in the ancient world for its wealth. The extent of its wealth is illustrated by the fact that Laodicea was rebuilt without financial help of Rome after the destructive earthquake of AD 60. Laodicea earned its wealth in the textile industry and in the products of black wool and in the banking industry. Think about that. Way those years back, earning a living in the banking industry. This city was so wealthy until it had its own bank. Laodicea was known for its medical school. Glory be to God. In those days, the medical school, which concocted a spikenard for the treatment of ears and eyesores. The major weakness of Laodicea was its lack of water supply. This was met by bringing water 6 miles north from Denali through a system of stone pipes, another sign of Laodicea's wealth. Glory to God. When the Lord brought the indictment against the church, he brought it reflective as to their condition, because these pipes that brought water for 6 miles into the city, they were situated on a trade route that had no water, but these pipes that they laid for 6 miles, they had enough money to lay brick and concrete pipes, a pipeline of water to the city, but because of the heat, glory to God, in Asia Minor, the water would be stagnant when it got there to their location. And it was lukewarm. They never drank cold water. One of the cities around them was able to have cold water, but their situation allowed them to have lukewarm water. So they understood what lukewarmness meant. They understood how distasteful it was. God was letting them know, this is how distasteful lukewarmness is in my mouth. When your water gets to you, it is so spoiled. It is so flat, and the taste is so off, and the minerals and the sedatives in the water taste so bad until you really would rather do without it. God was saying, this is what the Lord was saying to them. He said, I would that you would be hot or that you would be cold. You see, so many of God's people are like that in the church today, in the body of Christ. They're not hot, they're not cold, but they're there. God is saying, I would that you would choose that you would be hot or you would be cold. He said, but because you're lukewarm, you have become a bad taste in my mouth. This is God is talking about here reflected today. It is the body of Christ that has these conditions existing. You know, many of us, we're not on fire for God. There was a time when the church was, that the church had a spirit of evangelism, and everywhere you went, you wanted to say something about Jesus. You know, Jesus was a man on a mission. We were zealous for the things of God. You know, today, many of the members in the body of Christ, we're looking back into the days gone by, you know, 30, 40, 50 years and beyond. We're looking back and we're talking about the revivals and we're talking about how the Holy Spirit was poured out and we're talking about what a great move of God was taking place. But how has the church drifted into a place where we are today? It's because we did not put down anchor, because we were not sober, because we were not vigilant, glory to God, because we were not zealous, hallelujah, in the things of God continually. But God allowed the church to prosper. When you're in the body of Christ, you cannot help but to prosper, because when you do these things that God has commanded for you to do, it puts you in a way of prosperity. That's what the Lord told Joshua. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. He told him that you're going to be the one that leads the people in. He said, keep this word as frontly before your eyes. Glory to God. And he said, listen, meditate on this word. Read this word. This word is going to cause you to prosper, and it's going to cause you to have good success. When you're walking in the ways of God, when you're tithing and when you're giving, you can't help but to be blessed, because God is in a covenant relationship with his people, and all of these things shall come to pass. You're in a blessed position, but whenever God brings you into that blessed place and you begin to elevate and you begin to flourish, glory be to God, don't forget your first work. Don't forget your first love, as one of the other churches would be expounding on. Don't forget what brought you over. Don't forget how you got blessed. Don't forget that it was service to God that put you in this way anyway. But the church was lukewarm. They had gotten to the place where they were blessed naturally, and they didn't place a priority on their spiritual life. We must place that priority on our spiritual life. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. If we want the revival to return, so many people are living their lives looking back. If we want the outpouring of the Holy Ghost the way that it was on Azusa Street, there's going to have to be a seeking spirit in the body of Christ. There's going to have to be a praying spirit in the body of Christ. There's going to have to be a spirit that sacrificed what we want rather to have the things of God. Glory be to God. If we want, God said, if you draw nigh unto me, then I will draw nigh unto you. As I prepare to close, I want to give you a scripture reference. I won't read it because it's very lengthy. And I want you to, in your personal study time, I want you to go there and I want you to read. Hallelujah. Let me get my notes. Where in the book of Ezekiel chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, and you can read until fruition. Ezekiel chapter 16 is where it's very similar to what God is doing here with the churches of Asia Minor. The Lord spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, and he told him to cause Israel to know her abominations. Sometimes we have to remember from where God has brought us. Glory to God. We have to remember that we cried out. We were like blind Bartimaeus on the roadside begging one day when we heard that Jesus was passing by, and we cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Glory to God. Our souls were wretched. We were sin sick and undone. We were on our way to a sinner's hell. But it's the goodness of God that leadeth man to repentance. God spoke to our spirit, and he let us knew that he was passing our way. So we began to cry out. The Bible says, that Ezekiel caused them to know their abominations. The Lord told them when they were brought forth, it was reflective of the nation of Israel, glory to God, because from Abraham to Joseph going down in Egypt, the nation really came forth in slavery after Joseph, because there arose a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph, who did not know all the works that he did and how he preserved Egypt. Glory to God. But Ezekiel caused them to know their abomination. One thing God said was that when I passed by you, when I saw you cast out into an open field to the loathing of thy own person, God said it was a time of love. It was God's love and his compassion. It was his mercy and his grace when we were cast out into an open field to the loathing of our own person without God on our side. Hallelujah. He said, when I passed by thee, I covered thee with my skirt. Glory, hallelujah. And the Bible say that God, rather, he washed us and he cleansed us. We were drowning in our own blood. No eye pitied us to do us any good. But the Lord said, I washed you, I cleansed you, I suppled you, I anointed you, I put badger skins upon you. He said he covered us with our own skirt, his own skirt. He put a chain about our neck, and he said that thou art mine. We have to remember where we come from, what God redeemed us from. Glory be to God. Some of us didn't have no peace. Hallelujah. Some of us were empty in heart, empty in mind, and empty in spirit. But when God passed by us, he did a turnaround for us. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But just like the church at Laodicea, Israel turned away from God. And if you read on that 16th chapter, you will see how that God pronounced judgment if they didn't turn. Glory to God. But that's the mercy and that's the grace and that's the love of God, because he didn't tell the church of Laodicea that this is it. I came to pronounce judgment. Judgment is speedily. This is going to happen. But he gave them a space for repentance. Hallelujah. Many of us, God has given us a space for repentance, and you know that he's dealing with your heart. You know that he's dealing with your spirit. He's waking you up in the night season. He have called you by your name. Many of us know that God is dealing with us to set our houses in order, to draw nigh unto him, that he might draw nigh unto us. This is your hour. This is your day of salvation, as it was in the day of provocation. Glory be to God. When you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Glory be to God. Well, God bless you. Thank God for the privilege and for the very extinct opportunity to minister a word on your platform. I give God glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm the one that's honored, Bishop. I thank you for taking your time out whenever you've been on this podcast and tonight. I'm just so blessed.
Thank you.
I thank you that when the Lord leads me, you say yes. And then come with a powerful, anointed word. This is what we needed to hear, that explanation of the water in Laodicea was very profound. If I did hear that given many, many, many years ago, I didn't remember. And thank you for enlightening us, because that certainly makes sense why Jesus would say, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Great. We know what lukewarm is. Nobody likes lukewarm tap water. Everybody lets tap water run until it gets cold. If you want hot water, you'll boil it. And so we all know what it is to be on fire for God. And if you don't, you just need to spend more time with him. Right now, where we're not in church and we don't hear the choir sing and we're not in front of the ministry and the altar, some of us may have gotten lukewarm in that. That would be easy. But then you have to press your way into God.
Yes.
You know, maybe you didn't press your way into God before in your home or in your room. But now you have to. Because when Jesus cracks the sky, you better be ready. Just because you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior does not mean you're going up in a rapture.
Hallelujah.
The ones that will be identified to be worthy to be raptured by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be the ones that are on fire for God. So if you're half stepping in and out, you know, and you're compromising, well, all I gotta say is see you, because I'm going up in the rapture.
Glory.
So thank you, Bishop. Hallelujah. Thank you for that word. It's always an honor. I'm blessed. I'm happy. I've been ministered to. I just thank you, sir. And tell your wife that I said thank you for letting me borrow you for a little while.
Praise God. <them. laughs>
God bless you, sir.
God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you. Thank you. What a mighty God we serve. Prophetess Iris, I have not forgotten about you. I want to give a shout out to the rest of these nations that are few but added to my list. There's 60 some of them. I haven't looked at the dashboard to see if there's any other added nations, but I am elated that to give a shout out to Zimbabwe and Spain, Uganda, Burma, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Ethiopia, Libya, Papua New Guinea, Mozambique, Bulgaria, Romania, Ukraine, Poland, Austria, Denmark, Portugal, Lithuania, Iraq, and Cameroon. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you. And Lord, I just pray for the nations that I read right now and earlier. And I ask God that you would cover them in the precious blood of Jesus. I ask God that by the Ruach HaKodesh that you would draw those that don't know you, even in this nation, in the parting of their sins, that don't know you and haven't come to know you in a greater way as Lord and Savior of their life and accept you in their heart. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would draw them. Draw our family members. Draw the lukewarmers in our family. Draw the cold ones in our family, Lord God. Hallelujah. Penetrate them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, cause them to want to get closer to you like I do. So, Father, we thank you and we give you all the praise, honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I haven't read Prophetess Iris's bio in a while, so she just wrote something quickly for me. Iris Nazreen was born in Pakistan and raised in a Christian family. What a challenge that had to be. In her growing years, she unknowingly desired to see the face of the Lord. She is now married and has two young adult children. Iris is a chosen vessel of God to serve him and declare the soon coming of the Lord to the nations in a similar way. Repent, for the kingdom of God draws near. Iris is a testimony who is serving God in his strength, not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. God called Iris in 1997 and spoke to her audibly in 2007. The Lord gave her prophecies in her dreams, visions, and through scriptures. God called Iris to write a book about end time prophecies and its testimonies in September 2011. The author of The Lord's Voice Cries to the City is the Holy Spirit. Iris Nazreen is merely a vessel to complete this task. I'm honored to have her as my friend. She moved further away from me, where when she was living a couple hours away, we used to meet halfway and have a fellowship and lunch. We used to meet up at Sight and Sound and see the plays there. But she moved, God moved her in a direction much further from here. And I just praise God that there's no distance in friendship and fellowship, as there is no distance in prayer. Prophetess Iris Nazarene, I'm blessed to have you in my life. I thank you for being on the broadcast tonight. God bless you. Your mic is open. It's all yours.
Praise the Lord for this time and this moment and this hour that the Church of the Lord is together, and we are all on this broadcast. Every listener is on that program because they want to be part of His bride. They love the Lord and they desire to grow in Him, to get stronger every day and to love Him more and to be part of Him for eternity, to be saved completely and 100% saved. So this is our mutual desire. We are all the community of Messiah Jesus, and we are here to learn what the Spirit has to say to the churches. The book of Revelation, as you were talking about it in the beginning, Linda, this is a book that's really so important. When we read the book of Revelation, people stray away from that, thinking that that's a book that talks about disasters and troubles and judgments. But, when we look into deeper, it really talks about the unfathomable, amazing love and passion of God and His way to bring people and draw people to Himself. In fact, in the book of Revelation, when we look at all the troubles that's coming on earth, it's God's way to draw people to Himself, to shaken them up, to waken them up, to call them to repent, for the time is near, to repent and come to Me. I'm here standing at the door and seek you to have come down to My kingdom, where you are going to be in My kingdom for eternity, in salvation, in the protection. This is the best rescue plan that God has designed for humanity from eternity. So we are going to start with Revelation chapter 1. And I was, what is church? What is the Bible talks about? God had spoken to the seven churches. So what is that about? In Revelation chapter 1, as the mystery of seven stars is on My right hand and the seven golden menorot. The seven stars are the angel of Messiah, seven communities, and the seven menorahs are the seven communities. So in the King James Version and other versions, we read, lampstand, which is menorah, and seven communities, that communities of Messiah is really the, revision, or you can say it's really the version that we read in the Tree of Life version, which is more like the Messianic version. So God is talking about the community of Jesus Christ, the community of Messiah, the people who are called by the name of the Lord. So they are the lampstand. They are signified as menorah. Menorah, which was made, was given to Moses. All these directions about menorah was given to Moses. And it is described in the Bible as seven lamps, which has the six branches. The middle one was a serving candle, and it used to burn 24 hours all the time. It was supposed to burn all the time, and they used to put the pure olive oil which was that olive oil is drawn from the olive, and it's the first drops of cold pressed olive oil that was used to burn a menorah, to light up. It was a lampstand. It was a menorah, and it was made with the pure gold. So when you look at all these things made with the pure gold, so what is the church? Who you are? God wants to see you as a lightning candle. You are the church. You are the community of Jesus, the Messiah. And you are supposed to be a pure gold. And you're supposed to burn day and night, light the light and shine of Jesus Christ in the world on a daily basis. Every day, every second of your life, every minute of your life. So when we look at the picture of a lampstand, of a church from that perspective, you want to see what is the pure gold. The Word of God teaches us that God do refine us. We go through the fiery trials in our life, and He does purify us, each one of us, like a refined gold, pure gold. And this is what the menorah was made of. And the olive oil is also the symbolic of Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. That is the Holy Spirit that is desired that we burn day and night in the passion of God, in His service, in our work for Him through Holy Spirit. And these are the two main core things that we, every church, every person of the Bride of Christ need to have, to be purified like a pure gold and to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can talk like Him, we can think like Him, we can work like Him, and we love God just like His church was. As we talk about the church of Ephesus, Ephesus is a church. I'm going to talk about two churches today, which is the church of Ephesus and the church of Philadelphia. So as I was reading about the church of Ephesus, we read to the, you know, I'm going to read at the second verse. I know all about your deeds and your toil and your patient endurance, and you cannot bear those who are evil. So we are going to look deeper into those churches. What are the qualities that God is talking about in that church, in that community of saints? Because this is the place where you want to be. God has given us example of these lampstands, of this menorah, of these churches, so that we learn through them, from them, how to live a life that the God desires us to live. Because we are really in the last days, and in these last days before the Jesus comes, we want to be perfected. You don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind. So we are going to learn what does the Holy Spirit is trying to say to the churches of Ephesus and what we can learn for our personal life. So it talks about that God is really happy about there's certain things in that church that God really loved. God loved their deeds, their toils, their patience. And God also loved them because that is a church who did not like evil. They hated the evil. They cannot stand the evil. And you have tested those who called themselves apostles. So that church has the gift of discernment. They were blessed with that spiritual gift because it says in the next line that you know, this is a church who call themselves apostles. Apostles are the ones who are more like missionary or is more like the ambassador of God, who are sent out for a special mission. So they were the missionaries. They were the people. They're the ambassador of Jesus Christ sent out to the world. And they have the beautiful gift that they have not found them to be liars. So they were trusting God. They were serving God in faith and trust, and there was no lie found in them. You have persevered and have endured my name for my name's sake and have not grown weary. So that's a church that was growing in the Lord, and they were persevering. They endured for Jesus' sake, and they did not get tired. They did not get tired. But, you know, there was a one thing that God did not, appreciated in that church. Even though they had love for God, they were surviving for God, they had the patience, they were enduring for God, and they were gifted with the amazing gift of discernment, that they could distinguish between the sheep and goat in the churches. And they had stopped, and they would not find them in the churches, and they had removed them from their churches. So they were walking in the total righteousness in God. They were walking in obedience to God. But they were lacking one thing, which was the first love. Remember then, where you have fallen, repent. Do the deeds you did at first. If not, I will come and remove your menorah from its place. So God is talking about that you have forsaken your first love. Now today, if you look at the churches today, there are many churches out there who may be working for God in the churches, thinking that they are doing all things right. We may be working and serving the Lord and thinking that, hey, I'm serving God in my righteousness, not self-examining ourselves, and doing the things that God has called us to do. But there is somewhere that fire for the Lord is absent. And this is a very difficult thing to observe and see, because this is the very reason that many of the churches out there have gone spiritually dead. Because even though they open the churches, this service, the pastor, they sing the worship music, all things are going on. They're trying their heart. But there is a one simple ingredient that was missing, is the first love. It is very important to love the Lord with all your heart, with your all your might, with all your strength. Because the moment we miss 1% of that love, there is a lukewarm church that emerges out. And with that lukewarm church, we are not able to serve God with the same fire that we see in the book of Acts. When we look at the disciples, when we look at his servants, how they started serving God in his obedience, in serving him, was they have turned the whole world upside down. And they had gone out healing, serving, and they died for him. You know the example of all the disciples. Each one of them suffered for the Lord's sake. They were not teaching the gospel that is lukewarm, or the gospel that is more like, prosperity gospel, or the gospel that's really made for the tickling ears to make feel good, self-made feel good. God wants to encourage you. God wants to bless you. God wants you to be motivated in a different way than what we see and hear in the churches out there. Many times the motivation is a self-seeking way. They want to motivate people in order to get more of the tidings, or get stronger, or build strong churches and grow and expand for their own growth, more than the growth of the church. The church goes in and come out, clock in and clock out. but they have not grown into the relationship with the Lord. They are not in fire with God. They're not passionate with God. They're not sacrificing enough. They're not patient enough. They're not enduring enough like the church of Ephesus was. And God is checking on them, hey, wake up. I don't want you to lose the first love you started with. And many times, many churches, and sometimes I also feel that I started my journey with the fire. And I was praying last week and asking the Lord God, when I started with you in 2007, that passion, that fire was so strong. But in years, you know, I got some problems with personal life, with children, with family, with work, and all those things are the one that's hindering my walk with you. Lord, I want to get better. Lord, I want to receive that first love that I started with you, that fire, that burning desire for you. And you know, it's not that I'm really like, you know, totally slacking. It's not that, but that same, the fire that you start your journey with, many, many churches, many, many ministries that begins a journey in that fire, but somehow on the walk, and many distractions and many other things come in life as the ministry grows, and that distraction, you don't get the time enough to pray enough the way the Lord Jesus used to pray, and all those things, as the things start to extend in our personal life, we don't have that much time for the Lord as much as we want to have. I know that you do desire to spend more time in your worship, in prayer, and I have a godly jealousy for those people who find that time to spend those hours and hours meditating and worshiping. You know, when I go in deep in worship, anytime I get the time and I'm soaking in my worship and desiring God and I'm burning in the fire for God, that moment is priceless. That moment with God and unity with God and communion with God is priceless, is more precious than anything in the whole wide universe. It is that precious. And this is what the God is talking to them. Come so that your lamp. And what is Jesus talking about to Ephesus in that area? He is saying that, you know what? It's important for you to come and repent and do the deeds you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your menorah, lampstand, from its place unless you repent. You know that Jesus started his ministry. John the Baptist started his ministry. They always used to say, repent, for the kingdom of God draws near. So when the God calls us to repent, it is not judgment. It's not something that God is condemning anybody. It's not the condemnation. And many times in churches do not teach that message of repentance because they are scared it may give the message of condemnation to the people who are listening to that. But it's not condemnation, it's love, because when the mom calls the children, if you're doing something wrong, if the child is doing something wrong, and the parents console them and tell them or tell the child not to do anything and teach them how to repent from doing the wrong things and not to do it again, it's not out of, you know, hatred. It's out of love. And this is what Jesus is saying. If not, I will come and remove your menorah from its place unless you repent. Because menorah is a special, it's very pure and special gift of God for those who are faithful servants of God who are walking faithfulness, because menorah represents the light of God that lights the whole world. And the church is supposed to live as a light on earth, not the darkness. As we see, there is so much darkness in the world today. There's so much darkness. And it is so sad. In every home, everywhere, there is so much drugs, sex, pornography, sins, wickedness, greed. As we look at out there, there's so much unfaithfulness out there. It is sad. It's heartbroken. And every day, every year, every month, as the time is moving on, if you look at the past 50 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 100 years ago, that life was different. As the technology is going higher, as the world is becoming more, advanced and they're straying away from God, and nobody needs the God anymore, and nobody's seeking God anymore, and they're moving towards the darkness of the darkness of darkness at high speed, at extremely fast pace. And if the church of God is not like a pure menorah, is not a lampstand, is not lighting for God, then of course they become a part of the dark world, because they become self-seekers. They become the people who don't desire God as much as they may desire the money, as they may desire their promotion, as they may desire their child, as may they desire their husband or anything else they desire. There's so many idols in the world today. It's so easy. Unknowingly, we walk away from God, not knowing that we have built up so many idols. And one day God led me to the scriptures of removing my idols, and I repented to the Lord, because I have some worry about some bills and this and that. Where is my trust to God? He's my provider. Why am I worrying? So my worry is my idol. And the Lord led me to the Bible and forbid me for building those idols around me, because it's really taking me away from my Lord. We need to trust our Lord in every situation, no matter how bad it is, how good it is. Trusting the Lord, because these are the two legs that the church needs to stand on, which is trust and faith. Because whom we love, we trust that person, we have faith in that person. A child is going to be in his dad's arms, not thinking he's going to fall or dad is going to drop him or the child is going to get hurt. The child has so much faith on their father and mother that they will be taken care of. They have no fear. They trust their parents. They have faith in their parents. But, we have our Father in heaven who we need to trust and have faith. When we let on the trust and faith, think you have two legs. One leg is trust. One leg is faith. If you cut your legs, where would you stand? And this is what the church needs to be. You cannot have trust in someone if you don't love them first. You cannot have faith on someone if you don't love them first. How can you light and shine for God in impossible without that first love? It's important. It's important for us to repent today and be like the church in Ephesus, that God, we want to repent and come to you, God, as you are our first love. And we will be hating the evil and loving the justice that the Holy Spirit desires. And it says in the verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach, Holy Spirit, is saying to Messiah's communities, which is a church. To the one who overcomes, I will grant the right to eat of the tree of life, which is in paradise of God. You know what happened in Garden of Eden? God took away the tree of life after Adam and Eve lost their first love. They lost their first love, and that tree was guarded by cherubims so that they cannot access to the tree of life. But yet, God is telling the church of Ephesus that if you repent, if you come to me and take me as your first love and trust me and obey me and believe me, you'll be given the tree of life. You're going to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. What a precious gift God wants to give to you, to me. Who don't want to eat of the tree of life? Tree of life is the Jesus Christ. Jesus said, whoever drinks of me, eat of me, will never die. We need to abide in his teachings. We need to abide in the word of God. We need to fall in love with him. You know that God is the one who loves. Because, you know, when you love God, you become like him. You have the divine nature of God. And the church of Ephesus is a church that described as the one who hates evil and who love the righteousness. Just like in Psalm 45:7, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. And God is a God of justice and love. But God does hate evil, but he loves the, you know, sinners. He loves them all, and this is the reason why he keeps on giving the message of repentance so we can come to him and start fresh, like a fresh manna, start a new life. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, there's a verse that now abides faith, hope, love of three. The greatest of these is love. So you know, when you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, you're going to be in paradise, tree of life, eating of that, rejoicing in the Lord. And God will take care of all things. He is the ruler of the universe. He lacks nothing. He provides all your needs. No matter what it is, trust him. It's hard. The faith and trust many times get shaken in a believer's life. But we need to encourage each other. That's what the community of Messiah was, is to continuously encourage each other, love each other unconditionally, forgive each other unconditionally, care for each other unconditionally, and keep growing each other, lifting each other up. And this is how you light and shine in the world. If the church does it today, the world will draw to the church. And without teaching the gospel, they will come to Messiah, because by your works, they will believe the God they, you know, they serve is the perfect, true God. Let the church be so righteous, so pure, so holy, that the world will be drawn to them. But today the church, unfortunately, is led by fear. Adam and Eve did the sin and walked away from God in fear because they had walked away from God because they had the spirit of inferiority, insecurity. Satan did put the spirit of inferiority in them, insecurity in them, as if God is not telling them the whole truth, is hiding something from them. And the fear took them over. And the moment the fear took them over, they made the wrong decision and walked away from God and did the wrong thing. In the same way, the church today is so led by fear that they want to get involved themselves in politics, in the worldly stuff, in the things of the world. You are not part of the world. We are not the part of the world. And I have met many people who do not, who are not Jesus believers, they are other people, but they don't want the church to God because the image, the painting of the church that they have seen today is more politicians. They are like, you know, a synagogue of Satan now. They have become the worldly people who worry too much about this thing and that thing. Leave the worries to God. Your job is to light and shine, be the menorah, be the lampstand, and serve the Lord in purity and humility with the power of Holy Spirit. But the church is so devoid of Holy Spirit, they have no Holy Spirit in them because they want to work with their own talents. They want to serve the God with their own strength rather than the Spirit of God. Because when we read Acts 6:10, but they could not withstand the wisdom and Ruach, Holy Spirit, by whom he was speaking. So when the disciples were speaking, when the servants of God were speaking in the book of Acts, they were talking by the power and wisdom of God. And the listeners and the testimony, they were blown away with that. That these are the illiterate people. How can they talk the way they're talking? But unfortunately, the church today want to serve God with their own talents. No, God wants us to surrender ourselves, empty ourselves, and represent ourselves that, God, here I am, use me. Let him fill you with Holy Spirit, with the oil, with the first pressed olive oil, so that he can use you mightily into the supernatural works that the world cannot stand, that nobody can stand. You will be the walking testimony that the Peter was, Paul was, and all his servants was in the book of Acts. But the book of Acts is today like a fairy story. We don't see that out there in the churches, and it's heartbroken. Why not? Why cannot the church today serve God, empty ourselves? God doesn't need our education. God doesn't need us to go to the Bible schools and learn all the, you know, history of the Bible, this and that. The disciples did not know anything. Jesus said, when you go, do not think of anything. Holy Spirit will lead you what to say. If God can use a person like me, he can use anybody. I have no talent of speaking. My English is terrible. I don't have much knowledge about the Word of God. I just listen to the Holy Spirit. Whatever he tells me, I speak. And somehow it touches the heart of the listener. You know, this is a heart-to-heart message. It's a love-to-love message. You cannot touch and move the heart of a listener without love in your heart. That comes from the Father in heaven, through Jesus Christ, through his relationship, through the power of Holy Spirit in you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit makes it all one complete way. So this is the way. Empty yourself. And, you know, God does work in supernatural only through your weaknesses. If someone is a good, you know, like a writer, God will not use the excellent writer in writing because he wants to use a person who doesn't know anything so that that person would lean on Holy Spirit and beg God to help me to do the things. And that's how the supernatural things of God, which is the pure and holy words of God, is going to pour out of that literature and is going to burn the heart of the reader and is going to change their life. That's what the disciples did. We read the Bible day and night, and it's never enough because it's written by Holy Spirit. When God told me to write the book, I said, God, I cannot write the book. I had always been the worst writer. And, you know, math is my skill. I can do the numbers. I can work in that area. But you're telling me to do the thing where I'm the weakest at? So So when I started writing the book, I have to go and worship and praying and praying and praying and then let the Holy Spirit flow and let the Holy Spirit write the book. Because I had to depend on Him 100%. So empty yourself. God doesn't need our talent. He is able to use anyone. Even the rock can cry and share His gospel to the world. Let you be the example to bring people, draw to Jesus. It's not how many sermons you give out is going to save the sinner, but it's your acts, it's your work, it's your love, it's your sacrifices that's going to bring the nations drawn to you, and that's revival. The church is absent with their revival because we have become selfish and self-centered, and that is sad. And next church that we want to read about is the Church of Philadelphia. The Church of Philadelphia that God loved is a church who is a faithful church. And you and me want to be part of that. That's a church we want to be, a faithful church. That in the end, when we have finished our journey in the world, the God is saying, my faithful and obedient servant, come to me. Come to me. So this is like, you know, this says the Holy, we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. You know, I'm going to read the verse 8, which does talk about how, you know, because they have a little power, a little strength. So I'm going to read this scripture, and let's read with me. It says, I know your deeds. He's talking to the Church of Philadelphia, the Holy Spirit. You know, like, let's read the seven, verse 7. To the angel of Messiah's community in Philadelphia, right? This says the Holy One, the true One, who has the keys of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. Look at the authority here, the God. He's the controller, ruler of all things. He shuts and no one can open. When He opens, no one can shut. I know your deeds. He's talking to the church. Behold, I set before you an open door that no one is able to shut, because you have little power, like little strength, but you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will call those of synagogue of Satan who say they are Jewish and are not, but lie. Behold, I will cause them to come and bow down before your feet so they may acknowledge that I loved you. Now, in that scripture, it's very deep. God is the one who opens the doors in your life. God is the one who shuts the door also. You know, let our spirit desires that God open the door, that He had opened the door for Philadelphia. Even though we are humans, we are weak. We lack so many things in our life, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, financially, and in our little strength. But we are trying our best to keep the word of the Lord. And we will not deny His name. We're going to stand by no matter what persecution comes in. And the times are heading up. The kind of a darkness is going out in the world today. The persecution is heading up for the church's church. The true church will be persecuted. It's a spiritual battle. Our war is not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of darkness. Unknowingly, the world will hate you because the darkness cannot stand the light, and the light shines in the darkness. So, you know, it's very important that though we are mere humans, but we are standing strong. We will not deny His name, what, no matter what, even though we'll be killed for His name's sake. And the time is coming when the church will be killed and persecuted the way the first church was. Because in those peak times and after those testings are done, the Lord will come. and I will cause those who are sent against Satan. But the God is saying that you have kept my word. Even though your enemy is standing against you, the synagogue of Satan, even though they think they're righteous, they think they're Jewish, but they're not, but they lie because they're self-righteous in their own eyes. They're good in their own eyes. Even though it could be a church, it could be a worldly person, it could be secular, it could be atheist, and it could be a bishop of a church, it could be a pastor of a church. It doesn't matter what place that person has come from. It could be a believer, it could be unbeliever. Any person can be a synagogue of Satan in disguise. And it's a gift of discernment from the Holy Spirit and the gift of prophecy that allow us to see the invisible, which is not visible through our physical eyes. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals to the children of God. So again, we come to that, they're Jewish but lie. Behold, I will cause them to come and bow down before your feet so they acknowledge that I have loved you. No matter what you go through in life, but the evil, the powers of the darkness, even in spiritual realm or physical realm, they are going to fall down before your feet because this is the heritage of a saint. We do not fear of the evil of the world or the powers of darkness. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the presence of Most High shall abide in the Lord. We are going to abide in the Lord no matter. Like, how many sufferings come in your way, what kind of warfare comes in your way, you are victorious because the one who fights your fight is the Lord, is the Lord of hosts, is the Jesus Christ, your Messiah. Because he has loved you, so no matter what, the powers of darkness in a spiritual realm, the world, the earth is going to bow before your feet. Because you are the servant of the Most High. You're going to stand strong and be victorious. Let's have faith in that. And in verse 10, God is talking to the Church of Philadelphia still. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will also keep you from hour of trial that is coming upon the world to test those who dwell on earth. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take away your crown. The one who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never leave. And I will write the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, my own new name. So this is a church, is a rapture church. Because there's a new Jerusalem that's going to come down from heaven that talks about in the last part of the book of Revelation is a promise. So that's the church that's going to be raptured. And that church is the one that is not going to go through the trial that's coming upon the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. The season of great testing, the season of great shaking, the season of great her is going to come on earth. And there are a lot of concepts about the pre-tribulation, tribulation, and post-tribulation. We don't know when exactly the Lord will come. Nobody knows the days and hour. But we know that the time is near. We can see the prophecies coming to pass so speedily, right from the scriptures. The shaking on earth is, this is a year of justice. God is at work, and let us all be at work so that we become the part of his kingdom. We become a part of the rapture church. We don't want to be left behind, and for that we have to pay the price. That price is not simple. It's a price of our sacrifices for the Lord, of giving him all of us, like everything that we have, give it all to him. That's what I mean. Give it all to him. So give him all your praises. Give him all your trust. So you're standing on strong legs. You are not going to, you know, going through the suffering that's coming on earth. And in fact, we really need to be very, 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 very persuasive and be strong. And we need to be get strong like the church of the, you know, X was. We need to walk in that power and glory and anointing of the Holy Spirit at this time. I pray that the Lord will open up the heavens and bring forth his glory on earth today. I pray that God is going to bring that power that he gave to his disciples and bring that day of Pentecost in our lives. May the Lord bring that in our lives. We need it so much. We need the power of God so much that we want to serve him to the full strength. We want to save this humanity. They're dying. They're hurting. They don't know the Lord. They're innocent. And there are a lot of hypocrite churches are straying them away from coming to Yeshua, to Jesus, to Messiah. Because of their evil works, they don't think this is the right place to go. May God bring the change in the church, bring the repentance in the churches today, and show them that, you know, God is asking them. The way he gives the message to the seven churches is a message for the church today, to look at every area in their life and repent and come to the Lord. You know, the kings of the world are very shrewd, and they're very much selective to pick someone who would want to work for their company or for, you know, before they hire someone, they want to go through 10 times in interviews and tough selection of a person to work for their company. Why doesn't the king of the universe want to choose a servant that goes through the fiery trials and be perfected like a refined gold? We want to be like a refined gold, like a perfect menorah, pure gold, filled with Holy Spirit, with the oil, anointed and praising him and serving the Lord. Let us exemplify ourselves as the church of the living God and serve him in spirit and truth, with a heart of love for these sinners who are you know, falling apart. This world is falling apart. They need the church. They need the revival. They need the Holy Spirit. Let the church be filled with Ruach HaKodesh, because God told his disciples, Jesus said, to wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. Yet the churches today don't want to talk about Holy Spirit. They said the Holy Spirit is no more. Let us be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's wait and ask God and cry to God to fill our homes, our lives, our personal lives and churches with the Holy Spirit, because we are not going to be able to save anyone without the Holy Spirit. With our talents, we are going to fail, but with God's talent, we are going to be victorious. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, to bless us all with your Holy Spirit. And fill us with your glory, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. I love this word on these churches. I really do. Ephesus is usually the church that we hear about on a consistent basis, but like in this season, we haven't heard anything about your first love. And it has been a time and a season for us to grow closer to the Lord. And he has certainly made space with shutting down everything at particular times in the last year and a half, that we've had plenty of space to get closer with God. He says if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. So I thought about my cousin all day today, and today was her birthday. She was my best friend. She was my confidant. She wouldn't even let a fly on the wall. You know how they say, I wish I was the fly on the wall in there. She wouldn't even let a fly on the wall. That's how confidential she kept our conversations. And she can't be replaced. And I thought about her from the time I woke up this morning all day, and I put posts on social media about her. She was just a friend like Jesus. She just stuck closer than a brother to me. And I could always count on her. I told somebody today that I knew her better than her children. She was 9 years older than me. She babysat me and my brother when we were growing up. And then I got saved and I went to her. And she told me she got saved through a Billy Graham crusade that she watched on TV some years ago. But she never got rooted. She never read her Bible. So she really did not make a commitment that led her closer to God. So I led her to rededicate her life to the Lord. So when I think about my first love being Jesus Christ, I don't know what the church is all about anymore. I thought I did. But I've seen more unrighteousness in leadership in the last 10 to 20 years of my life than I would like to see and know about. So when you are active in things that are unrighteous, Jesus cannot be your first love. When Jesus is your first love, you walk in the fear of the Lord, in the reverence of God. Right, prophetess?
It is so true. It is.
That's how we walk.
The tree is judged by its fruit. If it does not bear a good fruit, it cannot be of the Lord. It's impossible.
Yeah. So I thank God for these four churches ministered on. We'll have part two next Thursday on the other churches. And I'm grateful and honored to have you on the broadcast tonight. Prophetess Iris will be on next Thursday night with my spiritual son, Minister Dr. Patrick Obin, and he is a real doctor. He's a cardiologist and head of his department in the hospital where he works. And I'm honored to have the two of them on next week. So I'm going to close the broadcast right now. I thank you for those that called in and that streamed in. I thank Bishop Bronson again for gracing us with his presence this evening. So, Father, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. We thank you for this platform. We keep it holy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the Church of Philadelphia and how you recognize them as a holy church. That's what we want, Lord Jesus. We want our minds, our bodies, our hearts, our souls, our spirits to be clean before you, to be holy. For your word says that holiness without, no man will see the Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you wash us clean, Lord God. You cover us in your blood. You wash us clean from our sins by the blood you shed on Calvary. We humble ourselves before you right now, and we remember, Lord God, what you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Yahshua HaMashiach, thank you. So, Lord, bless those that have joined us tonight or will join on demand, Lord, listen on demand at some time, morning, noon, or night. Lord, whatever time zone they're in, we thank you. So I just want to close by saying only what we do for Christ will last. Don't be the one that says, I did this in your name and that in your name. God knows whether you're doing it for him or not. When you're lining your pockets with money from other people, vulnerable people, people of God that don't know any better, that aren't mature in Christ to see what's really happening, you'll be the one that he says, depart from me, I never knew you. God bless you, Prophetess Iris, and those that have joined us, and good night. Only what you do for Christ will last.